Good morning, everyone. The song that you just heard is one which probably occurs more often or is referred to, or portions of it are referred to in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna than any other single song, I'm guessing. I haven't, but probably, yeah. This was one of Sri Ramakrishna's very favorite songs. Everything is done according to thy sweet will, O Mother. And we'll get the translation, full translation of it within the talk itself. So it's very nice that that was chosen as the opening song, this beautiful Ram Prasad song on Divine Mother. Tuesday, of course, we had our Kali Puja here, and the previous Saturday, I was in North Carolina, where we had our Kali Puja celebrated there as well. And I was asked before the Puja started just to say a few words about the special significance of the worship of Mother Kali within the Ramakrishna Vedanta tradition. And the significance is tremendous, not only in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, but we'll also see in the relationship between Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, and then in the life of Swami Vivekananda, all in slightly different ways. So we know, of course, that Sri Ramakrishna had a lifelong devotion to Mother Kali. Lifelong, his life after his first experience of realization in the Kali temple. From the very time that he started worshiping Mother Kali, this was something that stayed with him throughout the rest of his life. He wasn't born into the tradition of Kali worship. He was born into the family that had as their main deity Rama, Raghuvir. But once he came to Dakshineshwar and became the priest in the Kali temple there, then something awakened within him. And this natural attitude of worshiping God as mother and looking upon himself as a child, this just blossomed overnight and stayed with him his whole life. Way he looked upon Sri Sharada Devi, his wife, and the way she looked upon him, this is something unique in the history of spiritual sainthood, you can say, that she looked upon him as the embodiment of Mother Kali. And when he passed away, she made a remarkable statement. She said, "Oh, Mother Kali, what have I done wrong? What dosha, what mistake have I made that you have left me?" So when he left, it was as if Mother Kali had left. And when he worshipped her, Chodashi, it was on the Kali Palaharani Puja night. So he also looked upon her as the embodiment of the Divine Mother. Very often he would say Saraswati or Lakshmi, even Sita, all different forms, but as the Divine Mother. And then we'll see that Swami Vivekananda, who aside from his one poem, Kali the Mother, which forms the title of this talk, aside from that, he kept it mostly to himself, but he had a very special devotion to this whole concept and this whole reality of the Divine Mother and Mother Kali. So I want to go through some of these things this morning, and I really had wanted to give this talk last Sunday, but I messed up on the scheduling and everything. So I had to switch it. It would have been nicer before Kali Puja, but anyhow, try to remember it for next year's Kali Puja. So I want to go through a little bit of, we can say three different aspects of this Kali worship. One will be the historical development of this mother worship, which starts out a little bit more with this idea of the worship of the terrible that we find in Chandi. This is one aspect of Mother Kali that we see, and then tempered with this almost opposite attitude of the sweetness of the mother. So we have this, the two different ways of looking at Mother Kali. And then there should be a third one in here somewhere. Philosophical importance of this Kali worship. I spoke quite a bit last time with the idea of mother worship, but the symbolic meaning and the philosophical significance behind the whole school of Kali worship. And I want to spend a little time talking about the great contribution that was made by Ram Prasad himself, and the importance of that in the life of Sri Ramakrishna and in the whole spiritual attitude and teachings that we find in Sri Ramakrishna himself. Now, this Kali worship business is something unusual. Those who were not born in a tradition like that, who, especially in the West, who have a picture of God as a very kind old man with a long beard, maybe a little stern, but certainly not gruesome in any way. The first sight of these images of Mother Kali and all the different forms of Mother Kali are quite frightening. It's not really anybody's idea of a sweet mother type thing, because the one that we're familiar with, the Dakshineswar Kali, is a rather benign form. There is some even more gruesome. So we wonder where in the world did all of these things come from. But we'll see this blending, because this world is full of terrible things also. That this blending, Mother Kali, she really two, one half is this one half of life, and the other half is the other half of life. And we know that life has its ups and its downs, and its good and its bad, and it's a beautiful aspect, and it's terrible aspect. So we will find that this conception of Mother Kali is something all-embracing. We won't find a single thing that takes place in this universe, including devastation and tsunamis and earthquakes and everything, as well as the beauty of this universe, the natural beauty, and also the love of the mother for the child and so many other things, that won't fall within the realm of this Mother Kali as the mother of the entire universe. So we'll have the sword, and we'll have the heads and arms and all of that on one side, and the other side we'll have granting boons and freedom from fear. This is Vada Abhaya. We have these two arms that we have. So if we can get past this very strange symbolic form that we see of Mother Kali, we'll find that as a very high philosophical conception of reality that's all-inclusive. We don't have to eliminate anything, keep anything outside, explain anything away, come up with some devil to explain anything. Everything becomes part of the divine will of Mother Kali. So we see everything as divine. And this all fits in with some of the concrete imagery that we have. She has a black complexion. This, we can say, stands for the infinite, for the absolute. We generally think of everything as light, but this is also this in dense darkness, thy formless beauty sparkles. There's a beautiful song like that. So the same idea of the infinite comes from that. She's standing on the prostrate image of Shiva. He's lying flat as if a corpse, unmoving. She derives all of her power from that infinite absolute that needs Shakti, that has no Shakti of its own. She's that Shakti, that divine power, that combined with this pure consciousness of Shiva is responsible for the whole creation and preservation and withdrawal of this universe and everything that takes place in between. She has the sword and severed heads of a demon because she's protecting us from the evil. That part of destruction is there. And a garland of human skulls and girdle of arms around her waist and her hair is all loose and disheveled, Elokeshi, Muktakeshi, it's all flying all over the place, and she has a red tongue that's sticking out of her mouth, and all different explanations for that. In many parts of India, if they're embarrassed, they'll bite their tongue. So some people say because she's standing on the chest of her husband, she's doing it. Anyhow, we don't know all of these things. Then her companions are jackals, and she roams the cremation ground. Of course, her husband Shiva also does that. When she's not engaged in battle. So she is a mother that is not our normal sweet conception of a mother. I'll tell you an interesting story. I heard from Swami Swamiji several different times. Somebody attended some class or something, and they were talking about this Kali worship, and somebody said something like, well, she's not a namby-pamby mother. So that person came back and said, Swamiji, did you go and talk to that class ever? And he said, yes. And she said, I knew it. And no one else will use that expression, namby-pamby. But he said that if the mother is there protecting the baby and the tiger comes, where will the mother be? She'll be in the mouth of the tiger. So do you want a sweet mother who will just sit back and do nothing, a namby-pamby mother? Or do you want that type of mother that will go and fight for the child? So this is that idea of Kali worship. Now, what happened when the British came to India and they saw the gruesome figure of Mother Kali and people bowing down and doing all sorts of offerings? As we know that goats will be slaughtered, even someplace is human beings. We are fairly sure that there are instances. The dacoits also like to worship Mother Kali that way. So there's Narabali. This human sacrifice possibly took place at different times. And all sorts of strange tantric practices came up, sitting on corpses and drinking wine, all sorts of different things. So the British saw this. They thought it was the lowest possible form of idolatry. And this is a bloodthirsty goddess, and these people must really be barbarians to worship this figure, this Mother Kali, like that. And naturally, all of the Western educated people, young men mostly of Bengal, and Swamiji was one of them, agreed. And when the Brahmo Samaj came about, they were against all types of what they called idol worship or image worship, but especially this Mother Kali business. And the most interesting thing is that the person most responsible for changing the attitude of the people of Bengal in India with regard to Mother Kali was anyone? Sister Nivedita. Yeah, the Western woman, British, actually Irish woman, who spoke in Albert Hall on the real significance of Kali worship and wrote a book, actually also called Kali the Mother, explaining all of the deep philosophical significance of this form of Kali. So that was important, actually, historically. To a large extent, many people thought, well, let's rethink this. If now we have a Westerner telling us that it's not really what people are telling us that it is, then maybe it's something okay. So it's interesting that she played that role also. Now, the Mother Kali, as seen by the real devotee of Mother Kali, is a completely different thing. That is a terrible aspect is just gone. It's not of any significance whatsoever. One of the Ram Prasad songs, he says, Mother, thy red eyes cannot frighten me. So they see only the sweetness of the mother. When they look at the face of the mother, they don't see any of the terrible aspect there. This was a tremendous contribution that was made by Ram Prasad. I don't know if he was the first one to do it, if there was a whole tradition at that time. Later, with Kamalakanta and others, that completely transformed this type of worship from something that did involve, you had to do sacrifices and all sorts of things, to some very, very sweet relationship between God as the loving mother and looking upon oneself as a small child. So he popularized this, Ram Prasad, in all of his the beautiful songs that he wrote. And when I first started reading the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, I was so charmed by the songs of Ram Prasad that I had a great desire to read them and study and learn a little bit about his life. And at one time, really, I wanted to do some research and write in Ram Prasad. It never worked out. But anyhow, I did have that interest. And when I was in India, I made it a point to visit his birthplace. He was born and lived in a place called Halishohar. The Halishohar is famous for, it's also the birthplace of someone named Ishwar Puri, who was the guru of Chaitanya Dev. So it's a town, but famous for those two things. And you can go to see where Ram Prasad lived. It's a pilgrimage place now, because he wasn't simply a poet and a writer. He was considered to be a great saint, a great devotee of the Divine Mother. And you can see where he worshipped. You can see where he had his shrine, his Thakur, and where he went and where he eventually passed away, singing a song to Mother Kali, Chesandeep in the Ganga, which was very close there. And so it was very nice. When I spent 1 year in India during my student period, I stayed in a house with the people lived upstairs. I was in a couple of rooms downstairs. He was a great worshiper of Mother Kali. So he was always singing these Ram Prasad songs. And every Saturday, he went to Kali Ghat in Calcutta. So I went with him several times. And we went together to Halishohar that time. So it was really a very nice pilgrimage that we had that time. So I wanted to start with just a little about the life of Ram Prasad, because, as I say, without Ram Prasad, we would have had Sri Ramakrishna, of course, but still, he was so, played such an instrumental role in the spiritual attitude that Sri Ramakrishna had, that it's nice to know something about him. He was a kind of precursor, kind of set the stage for him. He was born over 100 years before Sri Ramakrishna, 1723, and we'll see many parallels in his life to Sri Ramakrishna as well, that he had no interest in worldly life or in marriage, but somehow he agreed. So he was married, and he and his wife both were initiated into the worship of Mother Kali. So that was their family deity, and that was he spent all of his time in worship. But as we see in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, his father died, and he had to go from his village or town to Calcutta to make money, to earn money. So he went. He had some training as a clerk. So he worked in an office. Some zamindar had some office, and he had to go there and keep accounts for him. But Ram Prasad, there were two things about him. One is that he was very honest, and he was the only one in the office who didn't take bribes and didn't cheat and cook the books a little bit and everything, so nobody liked him there. That was the first thing. The second thing was that he was absent-minded, because he was always thinking of Mother Kali. So he would keep the accounts in the book, but then he would, from time to time, just be writing the names, Durga, Kali, like that. And then sometimes he would write songs in the ledger itself. And when his co-workers found out, they thought, now here's our chance. We'll go to the boss and we'll say to Ram Prasad, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be keeping his accounts. He's writing, he's scribbling something and writing these songs and everything. So they went. They went to the boss. And the first thing he opened it, first thing he saw, there's one song, Amai Daoma Tobal Dari. Mother, let me be the keeper of your accounts. So this is what Ram Prasad wrote, not the boss. Let me be the keeper of your accounts. I'll be very grateful for that. Everyone plunders the treasure of your feet. I can't bear it when I see that. The custodian of your treasure is who? Shiva, who's ever forgetful, Shiva. So he doesn't keep very good accounts. And he's naturally generous and very easily pleased, so he gives everything away. And then it says, half of your body is his estate, yet he has a big salary. Though I am your servant, without a pittance, I have only the right to bow down at your feet. So he wrote this beautiful song there. And fortunately for him, his boss was also very soft-hearted and a devotee. And when he read it, tears came from his eyes. So the exact opposite thing happened, that they thought he would be very angry and he would fire him. But when he read that, he melted after reading all this. And he said to him that you weren't born, Ram Prasad, you weren't born to do this trifling work of a clerk. Go back to your village, write your songs, do your spiritual practice. I'll give you the same money that I was giving you when you worked for me. I'll give you that as your kind of a pension for you. So that's what happened. He returned home. He had enough money to lead a very simple life, which is what he wanted to do. And he would go and sing songs when he would go for bathing and go to the bathing ghat, the Ganges ran nearby. One day he was singing songs, and the Maharaja of that district, whatever it was going by on boat and heard him and also was charmed to hear these songs and invited him on the ship, and then decided to make him the court poet, some small court kind of thing, and also gave him a piece of land rent-free, so then he didn't have to worry about anything after that. He could devote his whole life to his worship of Mother Kali and to composing his songs, and his wife looked after all of his household matters that had to be taken care of. And as he got older and older, the mind became more and more absorbed. The later songs that he wrote are more this idea of the Divine Mother as the formless, infinite, absolute aspect of that. Then at the age of 80, on the new moon night of Kali Puja, he made the image with his own hands and worshipped it, and then went to Ganges for worship, entered there, and passed away singing a song to Mother Kali. So this was that beautiful life of Ram Prasad, and there are so many songs in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna were composed by him. Now, Sri Ramakrishna had a very special reverence for this Ram Prasad, and when he was in his period of intense longing for the vision of Mother Kali, he would very often say, "Oh, Mother, you revealed yourself to Ram Prasad. Why won't you reveal yourself to me?" So he looked upon Ram Prasad as kind of his elder brother, we can say, and really had that same attitude towards Ram Prasad, the same beautiful combination of devotion and wisdom. These are highly philosophical songs in their own way also. Now, psychologically, the difference between worshiping God as mother and worshiping God as father has to do more with not the philosophical distinction that we have, whether active or inactive, with the Shakti or without Shakti, but just the relationship is generally thought to be a sweeter relationship, that the child will have a little fear of the father, but can go around his back and go to the mother and beg the mother to, daddy won't give it, but mother will give it. So this psychologically, there's a sweetness there and a reliance on the mother that we find, because otherwise God and self, Atman, all of these things, there's no gender. It's not that God is female or God is male, that has any physical parts that we can identify as male or female like that. It's either some metaphysical reason we do it, or this devotional reason, we can say. So this worshiping God as mother in this particular way removes all sense of fear. The father may punish, but the mother forgives. It's more intimate. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We can ask the mother for anything that we want. And that relationship between the mother gives birth to the child, the mother carries the child, The mother takes the child on its lap. The mother nurses the child, raises it. And we can force our demands on the mother. So this is another special attitude we have, the worshippers of the Divine Mother. One of the songs of Ram Prasad, he says, this bitterly contested suit between the mother and her son. So there's a little clash between the mother and the son. What sport it is, says Ram Prasad. I will not cease tormenting you until you yourself shall yield the fight and take me in your arms at last. And then he says, O mother, I am your eight-month-old child. Your red eyes cannot frighten me. A deed of gift I hold in my hand, attested to by your husband Shiva. I shall sue you if I must, and with a single point shall win. So we have this very nice idea of Obhiman, that the child can get upset with the mother, that we can argue with God, that we can get angry, we can get piqued. Oh, you're not paying attention to me, I won't pay attention to you. You won't reveal yourself, then it's okay. Then I'll go my own way. So a very sweet type of relationship that comes between the child and the mother. And then, a little bit more philosophically, the child sees the mother everywhere. At the beginning of life, the child and the mother are inseparable. So the child sees the mother everywhere. All the creation, Ram Prasad says, is the sport of my mad mother Kali. And that everything he sees is Mother Kali herself. We have a very beautiful song which parallels almost exactly much earlier Sanskrit hymns, but anyhow, where he says, O my mind, worship Kali to your heart's content, repeating day and night the Guru's mantra. When lying down, feel that you are prostrating at Mother's feet. While sleeping, feel that you are meditating on Mother. Let your eating of food be oblations to her. Mother Kali is the embodiment of all the sounds of the alphabet. Whatever enters your ears is her holy name. Joyously, Ram Prasad says, Mother is manifest in all things. While walking about the town, feel that you are circumambulating Mother Kali. So Sri Ramakrishna, very often, when he would get into that mood where he would see everything as divine, he would say, sometimes he would say, I see everything as a Brahman, I see everything as consciousness. Other times he would say, the mother, I see that mother has become everything. When he had his divine realization in the Kali temple, I saw that it was mother who was the offering. Mother was the, even the cat that came into the temple that he fed, I saw that that was mother herself. He saw everything as mother. Then the one other element, which I also mentioned last time, is this idea of vyakulata, this idea of this tremendous longing for the mother when the child is separated from the mother. That the child can't think of anything else. That longing to be reunited with the mother becomes so tremendous. This was what we see in the life of Sri Ramakrishna himself. And this other beautiful attitude that at a certain point, one feels that mother does everything, that we're simply instruments in her hands, that we move as she makes us move. This was the song that we heard sung, Shakli Tomari Icha, everything is done according to your will. So he says, all is done after thine own sweet will. Thou art in truth self-willed, O Redeemer of mankind. You work your own work, men call it theirs. You it is that holds the elephant in the mire. You help the lame scale the loftiest hill. On some, you give the bliss of Brahmanhood, yet on others, you hurl into the world below. You are the moving force, and I am the mere machine. I am the house, you are the spirit dwelling there. I am the chariot, you are the charioteer. I move, O Mother, as you make me move. Now, when we try to understand what this Mother Kali was, who Mother Kali was in the eyes of Sri Ramakrishna, we get into trouble because it goes so far beyond our ability to comprehend that she was such a living presence to him that he would hear her voice, he would hear her ankles jingling. He would talk to her. She was more real to him than the people that he would see standing in front of him. She was, in some sense, she was a kind of guardian angel. She was ever by his side. She provided him with anything that he had to say. He used to say that mother keeps providing me with things. He could go on speaking all day long. He never felt that he was doing it. So from one point of view, Mother Kali represents this infinite absolute reality. From the other point of view, an intensely personal aspect of God. And this takes us a little bit to this traditional view of Kali in the tantric or Shakta philosophical systems, that she represents the power that's associated with the inactive element. So this Shiva Shakti idea, Prakriti Purusha, in Vedantic terms, we can say Maya and Brahman, that we always have these two. And one is always this inactive element, transcendent element. It's always thought of in terms of the male aspect, and the element of immanence dwelling within this universe. This is the Mother Earth, Mother Nature element is there. Now, Sri Ramakrishna accepted this to a certain extent, but he took it further. Not that she's half of a pair, but she's everything. So for him, she was both the absolute and the relative all in one. So he used to say that this Kali and Brahman are not two separate things. It's not that there's Shiva on one side and Shakti on the other. You can have one without the other. There was one time when Narendra, future Swami Vivekananda, was complaining to Sri Ramakrishna. There was a period of time, and we'll get to this, after a very special incident where he accepted Mother Kali. After that, he spent some time meditating on Mother Kali, and he complained to Sri Ramakrishna that he had been meditating for a full week, had no results. So then Sri Ramakrishna said, "All in good time, my child. Kali is none other than Brahman. That which is called Brahman is really Kali. She is the primal energy. When that energy remains inactive, I call it Brahman. And when it creates, preserves, or destroys, I call it Shakti or Kali. What you call a Brahman, I call Kali." So not some little goddess among many other gods and goddesses. "What you call a Brahman, I call Kali. Brahman and Kali are not different. They are like fire and its power to burn. If one thinks of fire, one must think of its power to burn. If one recognizes Kali, one must also recognize Brahman. Again, if one recognizes Brahman, one must recognize Kali. Brahman and its power are identical. It is Brahman alone whom I address as Shakti or Kali." So when we compare the Advaitic system to this Shakta system, we see there's not much of a difference except in the attitude towards Maya on the one hand and Shakti on the other hand. If we accept Shakti as real, the ultimate reality, then this whole creation is accepted as the manifestation of that same reality. So when we see the rope as a snake, then we can either say that this snake is non-existent, that it's erroneous, just a false superimposition on this rope. We can take that attitude. Or we can say, no, the snake is nothing but the appearance of the rope. It's also divine. So this is more the attitude of the Shaktas, to see everything as divine. So Sri Ramakrishna, his conception of Mother Kali is almost too vast for us to understand. The philosophical part is very beautiful. This element of the actual presence of the Divine Mother within, so alive and so real and so accessible, is something that maybe was just for him. It's very difficult to understand that. But there's all of the other symbolic ideas there, the embodiment of death and destruction, as well as sweetness and bliss, that she's the highest unchanging absolute and the power behind this as well. All of these things are parts of this conception of Mother Kali, but he used to say over and over again, she is more than we can understand. Her nature is inscrutable. She's Mahamaya, the great enchantress. So we can expect to logically be able to understand all these aspects of this worship of the Divine Mother. One of Sri Ramakrishna's favorite songs was that, who is there who can understand what Mother Kali is? Even the six darshanas, that means all of the philosophical schools within India, all of this, even the six darshanas, are powerless to reveal her. So this is Mother Kali in the eyes of Sri Ramakrishna, based on this beautiful conception we find from Ram Prasad. We'll get to Swami Vivekananda. It'll be a little bit different. His relationship with Mother Kali was a different type of relationship. First of all, we don't know too much about it. We know so much about Sri Ramakrishna that Mother Kali was everything. That Swami Vivekananda was a great devotee of Mother Kali is a little bit less well known, but it's also true. And it took time. We know that. That his first meeting with Mother Kali wasn't a happy meeting. That it wasn't until later, when after his father passed away and the family was in difficulty, that everything changed for him. But in the beginning, he thought it was all superstition. He thought it was all idol worship. He thought it was all nonsense. He couldn't believe that Sri Ramakrishna continued to go and worship and bow down before this image of Mother Kali after attaining such great heights of realization. He used to say he still goes there, as if in disbelief. He still goes there. But then we know what happened. His father passed away. He was in, the family was in terrible poverty. He couldn't find a job. So he prayed to Sri Ramakrishna to say something to the Divine Mother. Because somehow, even though he didn't have much faith in that, he knew that Sri Ramakrishna did. And somehow she would answer the prayer. A little illogical, but anyhow, that she would answer that prayer. So he asked him to do that. And Sri Ramakrishna said, no, you have to do it yourself. It's because you don't accept Mother Kali that you're going through this difficult period. And then he said, actually, I've prayed many times. He doesn't listen to me. That you'll have to do it yourself. So go there and tell her your problems and pray and everything. So in Narendra, as he's walking from Sri Ramakrishna's room to the Kali temple, he starts to get into a little funny, fuzzy state of mind, and some strange mood overcame him. And he says later, a sort of profound inebriation possessed me. I was reeling. A firm conviction gripped me that I would actually see Mother and hear her words. Coming to the temple, I saw that Mother was actually pure consciousness, was actually living, and was really the fountainhead of infinite love and beauty. See this trick of Sri Ramakrishna. How he... Anyhow, my heart swelled with loving devotion, and beside myself with bliss, I made repeated salutations to her, praying, Mother, grant me discrimination, grant me divine knowledge, and grant me devotion. Ordain that I may always have an unobstructed vision of you. My heart was flooded with peace. The whole universe completely disappeared, and Mother alone remained, filling my heart. So imagine this vision that Swamiji had. So he was filled with joy. He went back to tell Sri Ramakrishna. What was the first thing that Sri Ramakrishna said to him? Did you tell her about your problem? What did she say? So he said, oh, I forgot. So Sri Ramakrishna said, go back. So he went back, and same thing happened. Third time he said, go back again. This time he remembered, but he was ashamed. He said he felt it was too small-minded to ask anything from the Mother except for divine knowledge and devotion in that way. So he went back, and Sri Ramakrishna, of course, it was a trick that he did. Sri Ramakrishna said, oh, okay, don't worry. The Mother will ordain that you don't suffer, that the family will have at least simple food and clothing from then on. And then Swamiji, filled with devotion, he wanted to learn the song. So Sri Ramakrishna taught him that song. Matvam Hitara. Yeah. So that Amar Matvam Hitara, and a very beautiful song, old mother, you are the savior of the universe. That, and the next morning, people came to see Sri Ramakrishna, and they found Narendra sleeping in the room. So they said, what's going on? Why is he sleeping at this hour of the day? And Sri Ramakrishna was very happy. And he said he stayed up all night singing that song. He accepted Mother Kali like a little child. He was so happy that, oh, my Naran accepted Mother Kali. Now, this devotion to Mother Kali remained a little bit hidden within Swamiji. He didn't like to talk about it. There's one beautiful letter that he wrote to Mary Hale. He said, Kali worship is my special fad. You never heard me preach it or read of my preaching it in India. I only preach what is good for universal humanity. If there is any curious method which applies entirely to me, I keep it a secret, and there it ends. So we know Swamiji, he emphasized this non-dualism. He emphasized the philosophical teachings, the preachings. He didn't talk too much, even about Sri Ramakrishna, about personal ways of worship. He wanted to lay the philosophical foundation. He wanted to really preach Vedanta in this country. And of course, yeah, this one theme of realization of our own divine nature, this was the main thing. But we see some statements that Sri Ramakrishna made about Swamiji that we can tie back into this, why this remained hidden with him. This devotion to Mother Kali. And we find that Sri Ramakrishna said to Swamiji, this was when he had his samadhi in Kashipur, now Mother has shown you everything. Just as a treasure is locked up in a box, so will this realization you have just had remain with me. Now, remain with me, remain with God, Mother Kali. We'll see, there's not much distinction. You have work to do. When you have finished my work, the treasure box will be unlocked again, and you will know everything then as you did just now. Later, Swamiji will refer to this as being consigned to, given to Mother Kali at that time. Now, this somewhat hidden devotion to Mother Kali blossomed fully when Swamiji went on pilgrimage to Amarnath, to Kashmir. He had come back from the West. He brought some of his Western disciples with him, Sister Nivedita and Josephine McLeod and some others. They were all there. And it started out with this tremendous devotion to Shiva, because of this anticipation of seeing the great Shiva Lingam in Amarnath was tremendous. And Swamiji always had this great feeling of attraction to the ideal of Shiva, who is the ultimate renunciate. So this Shiva, the great god of the yogis, the great god of vairagya, of renunciation, for some reason, some at one particular point there when they were in Kashmir, was suddenly replaced by the devotion that a child has for its mother. Swamiji, at that point, they say, on his lips were constantly the songs of Ram Prasad. And he was always talking about mother this, mother that. And he told his disciples, Sister Nivedita, have to be very grateful to her for recording all of these things. She said that he told them, wherever he turned, he felt the presence of the mother as if she were a person in the room. And he felt as if the Divine Mother or Sri Ramakrishna were holding him by the hand at all times and leading him, guiding his every step that way. So this absorption in Mother Kali became so intense that he could no longer remain with that group, and they were on a houseboat, and so he in Kashmir, Dal Lake. So he took a boat and he went alone to a solitary place, and he was there. We don't know how long, but mind was filled with this thought of Mother Kali and not just the sweet aspect, because Mother Kali also represents, as I said before, the terrible. She represents the shakti, the power that can manifest in in the soft rain that falls and also in the earthquake that causes great devastation. So he became so absorbed that this great revelation came to him. And he was thinking about everything that's dark and inscrutable and beyond our ability to understand. It became so intense that he just said that he had to pour everything out in writing. So he wrote his beautiful poem, Kali the Mother, and as soon as he was finished, he says that the pen fell from his hand and he dropped to the floor unconscious. So he attained some such a deep state that he remained immersed in this state of union with the Divine Mother. We have time. I'll read the poem. The stars are blotted out. The clouds are covering clouds. It is darkness, vibrant, sonant. In the roaring, whirling wind are the souls of a million lunatics just loose from the prison house, wrenching trees by the roots, sweeping all from the path. This is not Sri Ramakrishna's mother. The sea has joined the fray and swirls up mountain waves to reach the pitchy sky. The flash of lurid light reveals on every side a thousand shades of death begrimmed in black, scattering plagues and sorrows. Dancing mad with joy, come, mother, come, for terror is thy name, death is in thy breath, and every shaking step destroys a world for air. Thou time, the all-destroyer, come, O mother, come. Who dares misery love and hug the form of death, dance in destruction's dance, to him the mother comes. So this was that tremendous experience that Swamiji had at that time. And after that, all he talked about was Mother Kali. And this tremendous, all-encompassing view of reality. And he would say that, he told Sister Nivedita, learn to recognize Mother as instinctively in evil, terror, sorrow, and annihilation as in that which makes for sweetness and joy. So this full acceptance of the beautiful and the terrible. This is a very important element in Kali worship, as we see it in the life of Swamiji. Now, from there, they went to a place called Kheer Bhavani. There's another great turning point in the life of Swamiji. He went alone, a very famous shrine, to the Divine Mother. It's called Kheer Bhavani. They offer this thickened milk or rice pudding to her there. And when he got there, he saw that it had been destroyed. Not completely, but it had been there was tremendous desecration of the temple there, that foreign invaders had come and destroyed most of the temple. So Swamiji said to himself, or perhaps half out loud, if I had been here, I would have laid down my life to protect you, Mother. So standing in front of the image of Mother, then he heard a voice. He heard Mother's voice saying, do you protect me or do I protect you? So later he explained this to his disciples. He said to them, no more Hari Om, it is all Mother now. All my patriotism is gone. Now it is only Mother, Mother. I have been very wrong. See, he thought everything was in his hands. Of course, that was again Sri Ramakrishna's trick. I have been very wrong. Mother said to me, what even if unbelievers should enter my temple and defile my image? What is that to you? Do you protect me or do I protect you? So there is no more patriotism. I am only a little child. And if we look at the life of Swamiji, we see that his interest in public work really changed at that point. He had a second trip to the West, but that was more, they encouraged him to go, his health was poor, they thought it would be good for him and everything. That zeal for, that missionary zeal was gone that way. So this, from that point onward, this devotion of Mother Kali was a very tremendous thing in the life of Swami Vivekananda. And we find on the very final day of his life that as he was leaving the shrine, he was heard to sing this very beautiful song, and not by Ram Prasad, but by Kamalakanta, "Is Kali My Mother Really Black?" Shama Maki Amar Kalure, beautiful, beautiful song. "The naked one, though black she seems, lights the lotus of the heart. Men call her black, but yet my mind will not believe that she is so. Now she is white, now red, now blue. Now she appears as yellow too. I hardly know who mother is, though I have pondered all my life. Now Purusha, pure spirit, and now Prakriti, nature, and now the void she seems to be. To meditate on all these things confounds poor Kamalakanta's wits." I want to close by reading a small section from a book written by Sister Nivedita called "The Master as I Saw Him." For her, the master meant Swamiji, of course. She's quoting him. "How I used to hate Kali and all her ways. That was the ground for my 6 years fight that I would not accept her." 6 years fight means with Sri Ramakrishna. "That I would not accept her, but I had to accept her at last. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa dedicated me to her." That was the key in the lock. "And now I believe that she guides me in everything I do and does with me what she will. Yet I fought so long. I loved him, you see, and that was what held me. I saw his marvelous purity. I felt his wonderful love. His greatness had not dawned on me then. All that came afterwards when I had given in. At that time, I thought him a brain-sick baby," Sri Ramakrishna, "always seeing visions and the rest. I hated it, and then I too had to accept her. No, the thing that made me do it is a secret that will die with me. I had great misfortunes at the time. It was an opportunity. She made a slave of me." Those were the very words, "a slave of you." "And Ramakrishna Paramahamsa made me over to her." Strange. He lived only 2 years after doing that, and most of the time he was suffering. Not more than 6 months did he keep his own health and brightness. The future, you say, will call Ramakrishna Paramahamsa an incarnation of Kali. Yes, I think there's no doubt that she worked up the body of Ramakrishna for her own ends. You see, I cannot but believe that there is somewhere a great power that thinks of herself as feminine and is called Kali and Mother.